In the name of Jesus, amen. It's a little weird being able to do this without a mask, but I'm happy to be able to, we can do this. Well, one of the observations that is pointed out to me on occasion, and I believe people mean it to be a compliment, obviously, but people often say to me that I have a bit of a sunny disposition. Not to toot my own horn, but people like to tell me that I'm rather happy and joyful, that nothing seems to cramp my style, and maybe I'm a little carefree. I guess people like to tell me that I seem to give off a sense of joy all the time, that I'm happy about life. Perhaps after you have gotten to know me the last 6 months, maybe you have observed something similar. And it's very kind of people. I guess I always take it as a compliment. I think it is. And I can admit, I try not to come off as someone who's too serious or present myself as abrasive. And even though I may lack some of the huge level of excitement and energy, I do try to give off a sense of happiness. But I have gotten to know many of you. And many times I experience the same happiness from all of you. Even though people might have pointed this out to me, and they seem to think it's a good quality that I have, I can't help but wonder if it's a bit of a problem. I'm not saying I wish I was angry or sad all the time, but I do wonder if I unintentionally turn away certain people who are a little more down in the dumps. I sometimes worry that people might not approach me because they wouldn't want to harm my upbeat-go-lucky attitude, or because they don't want someone like me to cheer them up. I can't help but wonder if I'm part of the problem of always being a little happy. Today is Ash Wednesday. We're beginning our time of the Lenten season, and as you know, the time is far more reflective, and the hymns, as you notice, tend to be more sad. And for many of us, perhaps this is not our favorite season. But maybe we've come to understand that it's necessary, an important part of our journey toward Easter Sunday. But the dark mood, the darkness, the gloominess, maybe it pushes us away from being involved in a day like Ash Wednesday, or maybe even being involved in the service of Good Friday. Because there is something incredibly sad about Ash Wednesday, about this gloomy time in Lent. Because when we think of church, a lot of times we think of the gospel. It ought to be a joyous time. And we ought to come here and find happiness and find joy. Yet we have these special 40 days set aside to think about sadness. But I do know a friend who actually loves Ash Wednesday. He loves the Lenten season because for him, it's the time the church gives permission for people to be sad. And I think that's something beautiful about Ash Wednesday. We are permitted and we are invited to be sad. And that's something we push so hard against, something we fight constantly. Because we have been taught that we shouldn't be sad. We should always look for the silver lining, the bright side of life, to the good things coming around the bend. We're taught early on that we shouldn't be sad, that no one really wants to be around someone who's sad. No one wants to be around a loser. We want to mend and fix the sadness. I know it's a problem I have. I want to fix a lot of things, and I want to bring cheer to people when they're frustrated, sad, or going through a tough time. And the truth of the matter is, it's because we never know what to do when someone is actually sad. When they come among us and they're not wanting to be cheered up, we're not really sure what to say. We look for excuses to not be sad. But Paul, in our text, doesn't allow us to do such things. Paul in 2 Corinthians explains the work him, Timothy, and Titus are doing as ministers of reconciliation. The life of one who was sent to preach the gospel, but it's a reality all Christians have to face. He sets up these seemingly contradicting things, like holding the promises of God through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. And our focus for today is in verse 10 from chapter 6. And we live as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sad, yet always rejoicing. Paul is not saying, when you become sad, or at times sadness strikes you, or when you are in grief, to find some charm, some joy, some silver lining. But he says, in your sadness. Joy does not predominate sadness in some way. Paul is not saying that in these times, cheer up. He says, we live as people who are punished, sorrowful, poor, having nothing, sad. Sadness is the realization that God's good creation is not functioning the way it should. We should not try to escape the sadness, because it's real. Because it lives around us. It's in our lives. Paul is saying that sadness is good. Sadness is good because the more you learn the original purposes of God's creation, the more you delve into what God actually intended for his creation to be, you'll be sad. You see the suffering. You experience the maliciousness of people. You see death. You see the ashes of what once was beautiful. Usually on Ash Wednesday, we're able to receive ashes. And that we speak these terrible words when we place the ashes on your forehead. We say, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Each one of you would have walked up, and these same words would be repeated and used. Essentially, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. Essentially saying, you will die. You will die. If we really think about it, the feeling that should overcome us is sadness. Because if we all received these ashes, you would look around and see the same black mark on all of our foreheads, indicating the person will die, that they will be dust. Sadness is a reality we face, and we must face it. There's no whitewashing or sugarcoating life, no looking around the bend or walking for waiting and things to get better. You will die. And that should strike us with considerable sadness. Our loved ones will die. A sadness that the world seeks to avoid. A reality the world tries so hard to cover up with the next foolproof life-saving product, with something safer or some way to survive the next tragedy. We even use language to try to cover it up, like pass away, no longer with us, trying to make the blow of death less real. Because we're not allowed to be sad in the world. We didn't get to do ashes today. But if you have ever dealt with ashes before, you know that ashes are pretty messy and they get everywhere. They stain and stick to your clothes, to everything. And when they're on your forehead, if there's enough on there and they're rubbed in, they're a nuisance and you want to itch your face or wipe it off. And sometimes they can be really difficult to wash. Sadness is the same way. It's messy. It sticks and stains. It's a nuisance. It's not easy to get rid of. But joy also sticks and stains. For joy is not easy to get rid of. Joy is not merely moments of happiness, but joy is also a reality we face. And it's in this joy that makes the Christian life different in the midst of a world of sadness. What makes the Christian life different is what Paul says in our text. In sorrowfulness, yet there is joy. We live in sadness, yet there is joy. It's not one or the other, it's both and. We must acknowledge and face and accept sadness in the world, but the Spirit turns us towards something good, right, and excellent and beautiful. Our broken hearts are put in the hands of Jesus Christ. We are turned to Him. Our sadness, yet there is joy. The Lord of creation, Jesus Christ, is the joy that is a reality today. Even in the midst of the sadness, Jesus Christ is your joy, because it's in Him all those things have an end and everything begins. He comes to restore and renew His creation, to set things right, to put it back in its proper order, to set you right and put you in the right relationship with your Father. He gives you life in Him. To rejoice in the Lord is not to pretend that suffering has been banished from the world or that there should be no place for sadness. To rejoice in the Lord is to see our sadness in the light of God's promises fulfilled in Jesus. It is to live in the hope that God, the Creator, shall yet turn our mourning into dancing. While the ashes remain, the ashes also direct us and turns us to see why we can always rejoice. Because while they stick to our forehead, they do take the shape of a cross. Jesus Christ is the victor, the one who saves, your hope and object of your faith, the one you trust, your Savior. He will right all that is wrong. And when He returns, He will bring the completion of His full reign and rule over His good and beloved creation. And you will be a part of it and have life in His name. This is His creation, and He is renewing it now, and that work has already begun. We are sorrowful, yet with exceeding joy. And we catch glimpses of that exceeding joy in Christ when the creation operates the way that God intended it to. When a husband and a wife reconcile their marriages, when fathers embrace their sons in love, when you faithfully respond to the callings and vocations that God has called you to be and take responsibility for, we catch a glimpse of that new creation. Yes, you are sad and broken, yet you are always rejoicing and free because you know how it'll end. The ashes, the dust, and sadness will not always remain. They will only remain for a lifetime. But the rejoicing, that will always remain. Always. In Jesus' name, amen.